This is Peter Walsh with M&R.
Scott Ritter with the Decorated Apparel Expo.
This is Ben Landisman with Lawson Screen and Digital Products.
This is Deborah Sexton.
And you're listening to the Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
Podcast. Hosted by Terry Combs
and Aaron Montgomery.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, February 5th, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry, we are welcoming in a listener, longtime listener, friend of the show, Jeff Schutzman with Sparkle Gear, and we're going to discuss, should I be printing this? Basically, we're looking to have a discussion to try to answer that question as best we can within the realm of, today's climate, today's world. And so I'm really excited about this one here, Terry, because the fact that we get to have this kind of open conversation with the regulators involved. And, we were talking before we got started, this is a slippery slope potentially here. So, our goal, none of us are constitutional lawyers or anything like that. Our goal is to have a conversation about this topic.
Jeff suggested the topic the way many listeners will suggest, hey, why don't you guys do a show about this or that? And then, of course, you ask him, hey, well, why don't you come on and let's join the conversation as well? So,
that was really great of Jeff to be willing to do that with us. So we're excited.
Yeah exactly. So, and as you said, Aaron, hopefully this will be a conversation with all the regulators, and they can have some input. And this topic, this has always been around. It's just, I think it's just accentuated right now in today's climate.
So. Yeah, I agree. Wow, I just yanked my computer around there. Okay, everything's good. I don't know how I did that. So yes, indeed, I agree, Terry. Like you said, this has been a topic, I think, always on people's minds. Sure. But like you said, just more accentuated now, and so we are excited to get into that topic here in just a little bit. First, we did want to wish Christine Shreve a happy birthday this morning. Kim Johnson has also wished her a happy birthday, so appreciate Kim saying that to Christine, and happy birthday, Christine. 29 years old. It's incredible. Good job.
Hey, wait, last year at this time,
hey, that's all right. So let's see who the regulators that are checking in, looking forward to having their feedback on this topic. Gusta is checking in from Sweden early on this morning. We had Cindy King. Good morning, Cindy. And we mentioned Christine already. Good morning and happy birthday, Christine, and Todd and Jim. And I'm not going to do this to you, Eric. We'll just go through the list. Howdy from Houston, Jane. We have Dave Shaw. Everybody checking in. We appreciate everybody listening. Shandy and well, I guess I am going to do this to you, Eric. And Christine says, thanks, guys. Actually 52, but I look great. Absolutely. Congratulations. And let's see here. Chris Hines checking in says, hey, gents, what's the topic? And Terry, what is the topic?
The topic is, should I be printing this?
Yes, indeed. So it'll be, like I said, a good discussion. We're not here to necessarily debate constitutional law. We're here to kind of figure out, as decorators, and I don't want to get too far ahead because Jeff and I had an opportunity to talk a little bit before we got started, but, as decorators, as regulators here, we know that the people that are here as regulators, this is people that probably have to wrestle with this more so than maybe the people that aren't tuning in to educate themselves and get better and get smarter, So, we're really looking forward to your guys' feedback on how you handle these types of things when they come in your door and how you handle that. So, all right. So looking forward to that. But Terry, we could not do this without a dad joke. Is this one from you? I can't recall.
This is one from you. So,
okay. That's right. I was going to say, it really looked familiar, but I don't remember putting it in here. All right. So, dad joke time. What did the farmer give his wife for Valentine's Day?
What did he give her, Aaron? I don't know.
Hogs and kisses.
Ooh, that is a groaner.
Sorry about that, everybody. I'd like to blame my 9-year-old, but I can't. I actually told him that one too. So,
All right. Well, hey, not that I'm superstitious or anything, but my news item today, Aaron, is I'm flying out tomorrow to go to Austin. My son Mike lives there and has a bar that he and his father-in-law built in the backyard, and with like five TVs. And I'm flying there tomorrow so I can watch my Chiefs in the Super Bowl, because that's where I watched the game last year. And so I'm flying there just to, you know, just for that good vibes for another Super Bowl win.
There you go. So we'll have to go back into the podcast version and edit that out. Terry is actually going to watch the big game. All right. Just want to make that clear for everybody. I'm just kidding. Totally. Well, all right. Have a safe trip, Terry. I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures of you guys having a fantastic time out there.
Yeah. So anyway, Aaron, before we dive in, though, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2, the number 2, Regular Guys, and share your show ideas. And of course, you can do that through our website as well, tworegularguys.com. If you are listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate you sharing with your friends so they can become regulators too, especially a day like today. Plus, we would love and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and now on Amazon Podcasts. If you are watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions and reach out to your industry friends to join us as well.
Yes, exactly. Excited to have everybody in here. Lots of comments. We're going to try to get to as many of them as we can. Speaking of that, Chris Hines shared a dad joke, and I actually believe that we've had this one on our show before. So it says, how do you make a tissue dance? Put a little boogie in it. So
I think Todd gave us that one time.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then one other
kind of reeks of Todd.
It does a little bit. So one other comment I'd like to get to here before we hear a word from my company about our products and services. Kim Johnson had a comment here that I don't know how Terry's going to feel about this one. So Eric, if you could go ahead and post that up there, Tom Brady heart. So. There we go. Wow. Does that hurt a little bit?
It does. It hurts my heart.
Well, apparently Tom Brady helped her heart. So.
she may have told me she'll be wearing a Tom Brady shirt to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. So I of course will be in the exact same thing I wore last year, my Chiefs jersey. And well, I did add my new Chiefs socks that I'll be wearing. So hopefully that'll
All right. And I'm sure all licensed products and get, yeah.
They are actually.
Excellent. Good. All right.
I'm an upfront guy.
Yeah, I know you are, sir. I know you are. All right. Well, let's hear a quick word from our success group, and then we will get Jeff in here and tackle this topic.
Are you looking to move your business forward and make it a full-time success that not only supports you, but also can support your family? Todd Downing and I launched our success group. Our mission is to provide resources that empower business owners to achieve their idea of success. What we learned when Todd started his own decorating business, and I was a pioneer of the industry's first podcast, was people were hoarding all of the information, or it was just disorganized and had no basis in real results. Both Todd and I saw really nice people fail because they didn't have the basics and a foundation. We don't want you to struggle to launch or grow your business. We want you to thrive, hit the ground running, and be good citizens of your market. If you are interested in learning more and would like to get some free resources, just fill out the form over at oursuccessgroup.com/empowered. That's empowered, EMPOWERED.
All right. Well, we very much appreciate you guys checking that out. If you're interested at all in what we're doing, we've got lots of great programs and opportunities. And, you know, again, our goal is to provide resources that empower business owners to achieve their idea of success. So that's what we work towards every day. And we've been having a great time building that community. So appreciate everybody joining us if you're interested. Terry, are you ready to dive into this topic here today?
I am. Hopefully we'll get safely through it.
Excellent. All right. Well, Eric, if you could bring Jeff in here for us and we'll Jeff, welcome into the show. This is Jeff. And I don't know if I pronounced your last name correctly the first time around. Schutzman, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, you did very well. Very good.
Excellent. Good. So Jeff, welcome in. Can you tell us a little bit about you real quick? And then we can dive into this topic.
So, you know, I work at a company called Sparkle Gear, sparklegear.com. It's a business my wife started about 10 years ago, at the time primarily focused on rhinestone decoration. It's grown quite a bit since then. We do all kinds of things. We do print, we do rhinestone, we do embroidery. We are really decorators. It's very unusual for any item to leave our shop with only one technology on it. So, you know, we're not going to just send out something that's screen printed very often. It does happen on a t-shirt or thing, but for the most part, things will get one, two, three, or even four decoration methods. We also try to do all of our own design work, either in-house or in-house with our extended group of designers that we work with around the country. It's a different talent set, as you know, to do print versus embroidery versus rhinestone. And there's a very small group of people that we've come to rely on that can kind of pull all that stuff together. So yeah. We do that. We also have a wholesale business. We sell rhinestone transfers into the wholesale market. A lot of cheer, a lot of dance, a lot of athletics, fan gear. And we have a pretty thriving workwear and PPE business. You know, we've been doing a lot of scrubs lately, a lot of masks lately, a lot of uniforms lately because of the current pandemic situation. So like everyone else, we've kind of sort of pivoted, but it wasn't much of a pivot for us. Obviously, cheer, dance, athletics are a little bit tough right now.
Yeah.
Going back, you know, some, 25 years ago, I was actually involved in the very start of some really interesting internet media things that, you know, if we're ever allowed to go to trade shows again, you know, we can sit down and have a beer and we can talk about some really crazy things that happened before you guys even knew there was an internet alive.
Yeah.
You know, it going back, you know, 85, 95, 96, 97, 98 were big years for the internet. And there are things that we're dealing with now and we're going to talk about today that we actually tried to head off back in the late 90s, early 2000s that I think we did an okay job. But all the predictions we made about bad things that were going to happen, they've come true and even been worse than we thought. Because of some of the, you know, more free for all attitude about some of the internet stuff. So,
yeah. Interesting. We'd definitely be looking forward to having that conversation, like you said, at a trade show with the beer in hand. That would be fantastic. And like you said, I think we can touch on some of these things here too, Jeff, today. Let's start off this. And again, you can share as much or as little as you're comfortable with here. But, you know, let's talk real quickly about kind of how this came to be. You reached out to us and we appreciate that so much, that conversation, and kind of said, hey, here's a thing that I'm dealing with. And I'd love to kind of get the, you know, you guys can maybe do a show on this because you'd love to get kind of everybody's feedback on it. Right. That kind of the way it felt to me.
Yeah, it was. And I think like everyone else, we were watching what happened that first week in January on TV in Washington. And, you know, it was just, it's safe to say that was pretty disturbing for everybody. Right.
Yeah.
I think as a country, we are hugely fortunate that thousands of people didn't die that day. It would have taken very little for somebody who, you know, to kind of be a little bit scared and to start something, right? Those of us who are old enough probably remember like what Kent State was. And a lot of tears were shed that day. It was an awful time for the country. And this could have been much worse than that. At the same time, I'm sitting here watching this going, yeah, this is disturbing, but some of this apparel that people are wearing, some of these flags, they're really well done. These were not done on kitchen table on a Cricut machine. There are some people who are producing some really, really high quality embroidery and sublimation and screen print. I'm looking at like some of the patches of some of the people that were arrested because they had close-ups on them. Go, these guys can afford Merrill machines that I can't afford. So it's, you know, there are people doing work out there that, if it came to me, I would be hesitant at doing it. And I started to think about, you know, did I go to a trade show and was I hanging around with somebody who's doing this stuff? or did I answer a question on a Facebook platform that's helping people do these things? You know, when is it right? When is it wrong? And at the same time, I got an inquiry from a past customer asking me to print something.
Yeah.
And I don't think I shared with you what it was. And it's something that definitely 6 months ago, I wouldn't have had an issue. I would have laughed when I saw it. And we just, you know, I wrote a long explanation, which I shared with you.
Yep.
And I started to hit the send button. And I said, okay, follow that 24-hour rule before you do something.
Yep.
And the response that I ended up saying wasn't the full response. I actually just wrote, I'm sorry, customer name, but we just can't do this right now.
Sure.
I just left it at that. And I didn't get any pushback. I'm sure they were a little disappointed. I don't know if I lost a customer or not. But it really wasn't that bad of a message. It's nothing that would prompt people to you know, tackle somebody and start beating them. But it was just something that, you know, it to use the phrase that people use now, it kind of triggered me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you that voice inside your head says, you know, I wouldn't say this in a polite conversation. I wouldn't pull this out at a dinner party and say, look at the cool thing we did. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
I started thinking back to some of the things that we may have done 5 or 6 years ago, and I'll share these because it's me. And somebody asked us to produce a T-shirt with a giant bling letter on it, and you can guess what that letter is based on the current context.
Yep.
And at the time, we said, "Oh, you know, that happens all the time. We all get inquiries for colleges and high schools, and their symbols or letters." We didn't know what it was. And we asked, it's just this thing we're doing down here. It was a Florida customer. And we made the design. And I don't know if we sold any or a small number of them. But, you know, you jump forward 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is and go, I can't believe I did that. I didn't know what that was, right? Yeah. And I don't think anybody knows. I'm not even sure she knew what it was at the time.
Yeah.
Right. It was just a thing. And you start putting this all together and you say to yourself, the easy ones are when somebody asks you to print a swastika. Right.
Right. Exactly. Right?
That's the easy one. But the hard one is the one where if you put that message on a shirt, you know that the intent was, I want to make other people angry. It's not someone trying to start a conversation.
Shock value.
It's shock value. It's inspiring rage. It's hijacking messages. It's all these other things that, you know, we like I said, we wouldn't do it in a private conversation for shock value, right? It wouldn't be funny, the four of us sitting around a bar, you know, taunting somebody. Why would you do this? It's, you know, the country has serious issues. Even without the serious issues, there are things that we're trying to do as a community, not just, you know, I'm not a big community with a capital C. And we have to talk about those things. And it's really hard to talk about those things when people are trying to make other people hate each other.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, that gives us a fantastic background and basis to kind of start this conversation then, Jeff. So Terry, what do you think here? Where do you want to dive into this?
Well, I think Jeff's exactly right. There are certain things that basically are offensive to 99% of the population. That's like, for instance, somebody asks you to print a swastika. I don't think there are very many decorators who would be comfortable doing that. But then there are things that are offensive to segments of the population. And I tell you, the one that bothered me the most from that whole inauguration week thing was the guy walking around with the Camp Auschwitz shirt on. And that's certainly more offensive to the Jewish population, but hopefully offensive to everyone. But that one, it bothered me so much to see that. But I thought that guy, he is wearing that for one reason, and that is to shock people. Just, you know, if that came to me, I certainly would not have printed it. And maybe because I'm a student of history that it bothered me so much. But I think it's the, well, you know, Jeff, you also mentioned, I didn't know what that was. I've had, you know, years ago, I had people, I printed for many years for fraternities and sororities, and a fraternity sent a graphic, and I didn't know what it was. And somebody in my art department came back and said, I don't feel comfortable doing this art. And then she explained to me why. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. So of course I called the customer and said, we just aren't comfortable. And so, you know, that's part of it as well too. I think that with our employees, if they are struggling with it, we probably all should struggle with it a little bit as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, Terry, completely. Where, I mean, this does become that question of the, where's the line draw? Like you said, you know, obviously there's certain things, and that Jeff, I think, said this very well when he was discussing some of this, is the fact that if the intent is to create hate, create, you know, hijack messages, those types of things that Jeff had mentioned, you know, if you can tell that, where does our responsibility lie in, yeah, we need to say, we're not comfortable doing that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to be part of that. Because, you know, the other thing that Jeff had mentioned, and I think is a great point, is we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so businesses are struggling in certain ways. And so then the flip side of that coin becomes, well, they have money. I'll do it just this one time. yeah. So Jeff, I don't know what your take is on that side of things too, because I've heard that from folks too. It's like, I needed the order, you know, yeah. I needed this to keep my business afloat. So, I needed the customer. So go ahead, Jeff.
So my feeling on that is that it's really short-sighted. I understand you need the money, but one t-shirt order, you know, you guys talk about business planning and that. So you mm-hmm. you understand that it's, you know, today doesn't really matter. It's the path that you're on that matters. But taking that one order puts you on a different path. It doesn't change your financial picture, right? If you do 500 t-shirts and you pocket an extra $2,500, that money goes away really quick. Yeah, maybe you just paid one credit card bill or whatever you did. Mm-hmm. But what happens when, you know, maybe this is the way to say it. If the rest of my community found out that I printed a message that was offensive to the police force in my town, that community would turn on me in a heartbeat.
Sure.
Right. If the rest of the country, because, you know, we're a national business, we sell all over the country, we sell Canada, everywhere, finds out that I did that, they would turn on the business. And that's, you know, unfortunately, you know, the term that's evolved to encompass that is the cancel culture, right? And that's where if you make one mistake, you're going to pay for it with everything, mm-hmm. right? It's not that you can apologize and get out of it. It's you're done, right? Your reputation is done. Your business is done. And that's not a new phenomenon. It's happened a lot over and over again. Periodically, you know, the community learns that maybe it wasn't that bad and that was a personal mistake versus a institutional mistake or a mistake because of a flaw in your personality, and they'll let you come back from that. But it's something to really worry about. And that's a whole nother discussion, whether or not that's justified.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, as you mentioned, you're a student of history. I see the World War II books in the background on your shelf. We've been through this before. Right. A lot of people may not have paid attention to history class, but, you know, everybody knows that we've had a couple presidents assassinated. The one that was assassinated as a direct result of this kind of discourse was McKinley. Right. And McKinley, right. If you remember the Spanish-American War, you know, this is reaching back into everybody's high schools a little bit farther than they probably want to go. But you had these two newspaper publishers, mostly in New York. We're cranking things up, getting the war going, getting the anti-war going and all that other stuff. And eventually got enough people who were probably not the most stable people in the world to believe in something. And then a guy walks up and puts a couple of bullets in McKinley.
Yeah.
And he dies. Right. Right. That was newspapers. And really the only reason that never got out of New York, if you read, you know, the accounts of it, it was other places, but it was primarily a East Coast, you know, financial center versus the political center thing, was they didn't have the internet, right? Yeah. You got your news from the paper that was dropped on the street corner at 5 p.m., this next version at 7 p.m., the next version at, you know, 4 a.m. that was mass media then, and that was moving fast for the time. Now, you know, if we say the wrong thing, you know, the three of us could end up on CNN in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's very different. So that's, you know, you use the phrase velocity when you talk about messaging. It's a very high velocity message. And that can be really scary, because when things come at you fast, not only does your brain have trouble deciding what's right and what's wrong, but you're not giving anyone else a chance to say, hold on a second, you know, maybe, you know, maybe that's hyperbole. Maybe, you know, it's a big exaggeration. There's just no time before the next message hits you. And we've gotten very accustomed to this, and we tolerate it from our media, and we expect it from our media. You know, it's look at a movie like Casablanca versus a movie like John Wick, right? Casablanca is a slow evolving story where they talk to you and things like that. John Wick goes from a few words to some really cool action scenes and CGI, forcing a message, right? And that's what it is, a message at you.
Yep.
You don't have a chance to not engage in media like that, because it absorbs you. Video games absorb you. And we've conditioned ourselves to that. And it's very hard to take a step back. And I think individually, we're going to have to make a decision to do that now, because you got to slow things down. Maybe you don't watch as much of that network news station that was keeping you captivated. Maybe you read a little bit more because it's slower.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, this, the times that we're in, and I don't have to date myself. Everybody knows, but yeah, this reminds me, the feelings I have are just like the late 60s, early 70s. Everybody had to pick a side. You couldn't stay in the middle. You had to be on this side or you had to be on that side. That's the culture we're in today. Pick a side. And if you pick A, then you're the enemy of B, and vice versa. And that's what makes it really tricky, because then, you know, who determines what's the truth or what's right? So it can be difficult. And, you know, this has gone on, you know, as we said, for years. I remember, gosh, when I was right out of college and I was, I had a screen printing business, and I remember thinking, I had the Palestinian Student Association picking up their shirts, and the Jewish Center Student Association picking up their shirts. And I thought, oh, they're picking them up on the same day. I hope they don't come at the same time. And you know, it's kind of the same thing, but I don't know. It's I'm hoping that we get to the point where everybody goes, okay, enough, you know, enough, trying to destroy people because of one little thing that happened that you don't agree with. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so, Terry and Jeff, let's real quick, I want to make sure that we bring the regulators in, because we've got some great comments as well. I'm going back just a little way as Jeff was starting to open up this conversation for us. Dean just shared, you know, well said. So I wanted to make sure we shared that with you, Jeff. And then Christine shared, this is such a vital conversation, because I think people are facing these issues every day. It's tough to know how to find your balance. And I like the word balance in there personally. Rugs from the folks over there at MBM Media. Thank you for being here, Rugs. He says, thanks you for having the guts to address this topic. Definitely the time to reevaluate what we're willing to do for money and where we should ethically draw the lines. Kudos. So, you know, and Jeff, I just want to make sure that we pass along to you that this is, we really appreciate that you've been willing to come on and share your take on this, because yeah, you made a great point when you brought this up to us and said, hey, this is something that we need to talk about. And you know, I just in a way said, you know what, I'd love to have your take on it too. And you were willing to do that for us. So I think those kudos need to go to you, Jeff.
This is a hard topic, and it's, you know, I think we all want to get to the point where we can sit around a table with our friends with beers and talk about politics again. Right now, I can't do that. And I have people on both sides. And for the most part, my observation is that, you know, it's a very small number of people at one extreme, a very small number of people at another extreme. And I'm not talking about the kooks at either end. I'm talking about the regular people who kind of have gone a little bit further than you would expect. But the rest of us, you know, the rest of us kind of want everything to move forward, right? We want to have that debate about how much government and what kind of government we want to have. And there's a discussion, right? You know, I'm in the crazy land of Massachusetts, as other people like to reply, but, you know, people, you know, look up here and say we're a high tax state and, you know, all these liberal stuff, but, you know, Mitt Romney was our governor. Charlie Baker is our governor, right? Right. And they get along with the Democrats, and they have knockdown, drag out fights all the time. And you know what? Our taxes go down by a small percentage point every year because that's the agreement that they made a bunch of years ago. They have a nice saving, you know, rainy day fund, which they haven't even really made a big dent in for the pandemic. You know, we have some big issues. We have old infrastructure. We have other issues. But for some reason, you know, they seem to go have their fights. And, you know, some people listen to people better than others, but we get it done.
Yeah.
There are other places in the country that get it done also. So it's possible.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why people are letting themselves become victims of this, you know, the anger, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The anger that they don't, you have a choice of whether or not you adopt somebody else's anger.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right? One of my favorite topics to discuss is that whole, you know, 100% responsibility. Like you said, we have that choice to decide whether we adopt that anger or we choose to be joyful and happy and respectful and all of those things that, in fact, I'm going to jump to one other quick comment here. Todd says, you can't put a price on your values. If you break them once for money, what will stop you from continuing to break them in the future? And I agree. I think a lot of this conversation is about, you know, you can't put a price on your values. And so you can choose to make these decisions for yourself. So right. I love that. One other comment, a bunch of other comments I want to get to here, but Dale over at Blackbird Studio Designs, when we were talking about, you know, what you're printing on stuff, it's, you know, this potential way to address it with your customers, maybe not directly like this, but I mean, this is what it boils down to. It may be that person's design. They're coming to you to get printed or whatever, but at the end of the day, as Jeff mentioned, that represents your business. It's, you know, like if people found out that you were doing that, would they turn on you, as you mentioned?
So to expand on what Dale just said, you know, a lot of people will come in and they'll come in with a message they think is humorous or amusing, representing a point of view, and they don't understand how that could be interpreted. And when people come in with bad logo designs because of visual artifacts or things like that, we guide them out of that.
Right.
We guide them out of using poor wording choices sometimes, right?
Sure.
Because that's one of the differences between a decorator and a print shop, right? I mean, you can go to any number of print shops and drop a piece of paper in a copy machine and it spits out exactly what came in. We do this because we like to help people. We like the creative aspect of it. People may not understand, and it might be part of our role to say, you know, before you ask me to do this, are you sure you really want to put this message out there? Because I can tell you, I first saw it and I was a little bit uncomfortable. You may not want to go there right now. And it might not, again, you know, not to pick on, you know, the age of this group, but, you know, think about a TV show like All in the Family. Okay. You could not put that on TV right now.
No.
You could not put that on TV right now. And it was one of the most important shows kind of socially for this entire country. And perhaps, you know, all kinds of reasons, you know, race relations, economic reasons, all that stuff. But you couldn't put that on TV right now. And it's not because it's a bad show. It's not because it was something that didn't follow through on its intent. It's just, it's not the right time for that. You could not make the movie Blazing Saddles right now.
Oh, no.
Right? Okay. Yeah. You want a real scary one? I actually did this the other day, is that one of the stations, you know, pay TV stations was running a free weekend, and I went online and they were running the original three seasons of the Looney Tunes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. The cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we all remember as kids waking up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, yep, turning these things on. Tell you what, it's worth it to go and pay a couple of dollars to watch those and see if you can sit in your chair without squirming, watching the caricatures of the different people. Some of them are animals, but they're animals with manipulated facial features, a certain way of talking. And I got to tell you, you know, I did not have those memories of it, but you squirm in your chair when you watch those things. If you really don't think things have changed in this country, anybody can go watch it. And I don't care what your political view is. It's the kind of thing where if you're not watching it alone, you'd actually be embarrassed to laugh at it. It's that bad. Right.
Yeah.
So
Thinking back.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even picking on poor Elmer Fudd, who had a speech impediment and all that other stuff. We don't, you know, you wouldn't do that today.
Yeah,
right.
Right. And that's a good thing. And there's much more severe things in those. So time matters, right? The context matters. The situation matters. You know, someday, maybe that would, you know, those TV shows and things will be funny again. I don't know if it's true. I have a hard time believing it because, that kind of media kind of, you know, it almost brainwashes you to a certain perspective. And it's easy to see why we've had three or four generations of people with views that don't match how we want people to behave now. Sure. Because if that's the media that we're feeding four-year-olds, right, there's no other way you can turn out as a person other than having certain perspectives on things.
Sure.
Right.
So let's not do that. And let's just remember everything has a time and a place, and some things, their time and place has passed.
Yep, for sure. For sure. All right, Jeff. So let's so Christine said, again, just bouncing around, we want to get all the feedback, and this is about being in discussion openly. Christine says, there's kinds of two facets to this. One is what do you personally feel is right or wrong, or good or bad? The other is how much what you're doing adds to the national problem. If you're doing work that feeds division or hate, what's your moral responsibility? And I think, Jeff, you did a really good job of addressing that too, but I don't know if there's anything else that you guys want to take off on that from.
Well, and it's when Jeff's talking about things in the past, I think there's also a feeling now of let's search back into the past and punish people and organizations for things that happened in a different context and a different time. So that's also part of the cancel culture, I think. But, you know, I think today, if let's say somebody walked into your shop and said, I want to print the Republican Party. I just want to say Republican Party. Or B, a person comes in and says, I want to print just Democratic Party. I think today there are people who say, oh, and I can't do A or B here. Because people are evil.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, and I would do that in a heartbeat, right? It's spring is election season in New England. I hope we get a lot of people running for town select board or, you know, town offices coming in asking for yard signs and banners and T-shirts. And I don't have a problem printing both sides of those things. Right. And I will help both sides of those things, even though, you know, some of those people that come in are friends and I would vote for them one way or the other. You know, in the same way that if the two high schools that are closest to you come to you for uniforms, you wouldn't tell one high school, oh, I'm a fan of the Rams, I'm not going to do the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that, but you would also probably not print a T-shirt that says, you know, the Rams are this, right? I mean, and I think you have to have that same attitude of it. It's that, you know, and maybe the way to say it is that if you wouldn't be comfortable putting that up on your Facebook page, pointing to that as a nice piece of work that I've done, you probably shouldn't do it. It's the same thing, you know, that your mother probably used to tell you, right? If you wouldn't say it to someone's face, don't say it behind their back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's a great standard. If you would be embarrassed for someone to know that you decorated that, you did that particular decoration, then maybe you shouldn't do it. That's you know, I like that standard. If you wouldn't show it as an example. Now, I've certainly printed a lot of things I wouldn't show as an example because, you know, the graphic was just poor or, you know, that sort of thing. But I like the standard. If you're embarrassed of it, don't do it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's very difficult because, you know, let me pick a divisive issue. We have a customer, relatively new customer, who comes to us for some embroidery. And one of the premier training facilities for police tactical firearms is not too far from here. And they have a consulting company where they take take law enforcement officers to the tactical range. And it's clearly a tactical police message. I would never turn that work down. Not only because it's profitable, but it's being done right. It's not the either T-shirt that looks like it came out of a South Park episode that says they're going to take our guns, right? It's not that message, right? At the same time, if somebody came to me and said, you know, we're going to the rally down at the State House and we want to print these T-shirts and these banners because, you know, we're advocating for different gun control measures, you know, as long as the message wasn't hate-filled and violent and all that other stuff, no problem doing that. And I don't see the two messages conflicting. I really don't, because you know, no police officer wants crazy people running around their town with guns, right? I haven't met one yet, right? Yeah. Has met one yet? No. And it's a conversation about, you know, how much training do we need? Is it the best tool to handle a situation? And then what are the right things, right? Everyone around here is a hunter, right? You know, again, to pick on Massachusetts, you know, we have a reputation as a big gun control state. I think 30% of the people in Massachusetts, or 30% of the households, have a licensed firearm license. Right, yeah. That's a pretty big number for a place that has a reputation. You know, somebody can Wikipedia me and check me, but
yeah.
You know, it's a big number, right? It's just where you draw the line and what you do, and the messaging around that's fine. You know, police officer dropped off his hat to be embroidered here right now, and I know police officers wouldn't come in here if they thought I was a nut. I know the other people wouldn't come in if they thought I was a police, you know, martial law kind of nut either. So,
yeah,
right. You know, so,
yeah, I love it. I think you're exactly right that it's not about necessarily if it's an A or a B. It's more about what's the intent of the message. Is the intent of the message to promote their side or to promote what their values are, versus if the intent of the message is to create negativity for the other side, you know, right. At least that's the way I feel about it. So,
and it's not a one or the other thing. It's a very hard line to draw, but it, you know, like so many other things in life, is that you kind of know it when you see it. Right.
Yeah.
And if it makes you a little uneasy, there's probably a reason why. And if you can't figure out why, you should step back. And before you make a decision one way or the other, think about it for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, and I think that however, whatever your opinions are on any of these things, as decorators, we probably should sit down and maybe have a conversation with our staff or just sit down and think about it yourself before somebody walks in your door. And basically what I'm saying is you think about having a policy of where do we draw the line? What will we accept and what will we not accept? I think people, if nothing else from this show, should sit down and have that internal conversation or conversation among friends.
Right. And be comfortable that you can say no. If something makes you uncomfortable, you know, you can say no to something. You know, it's not like you're the only decorator around, and you know, we all have to sleep at night. And I haven't met anybody who's successful in this business that one of the big reasons why they're in it is they really love it, right? You have to love this business to do it, because none of us is really going to become a billionaire. Well, maybe somebody will, but you know, maybe Aaron and Todd will with the. But you have to love what you're doing. And if doing these things is going to make you feel as though you're not moving the conversation forward and maybe you're hurting the conversation, if doing these things are going to keep you from sleeping at night, you shouldn't do it. You just shouldn't do it. There are other ways to make, you know, make a living, right? And
You know, I think that's a great reference you've made there. I think this is an industry of passion, that everybody who does this is passionate about the process, about creating art, about you know, sharing messages, things like that. So yeah, I think that you're right. Nobody becomes a decorator because they want to retire at 30. With all the money they've made printing t-shirts.
Yeah. So in fact, Gusa from Sweden says, I think like an artist, am I willing to sign the work? You know, and that's
excellent.
Great, yeah. Dale brings up a really good question here, and see if we can kind of tackle this one a little bit. He says, if someone comes in with a truly violent message that they want printed after you've refused the work, what is your social responsibility to the information? You know, and that becomes even a bigger question, I think. I don't know. Terry, Jeff, any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm trying to think what that message would be. I mean, maybe, you know, kill the president or kill the senator or whoever. Maybe that. Yeah, that I've never run across a situation like that. But I think
print those flags.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't sublimate 4-foot flags on your with your home iron, right?
That's true. Again, I've never been put in that position, but if somebody had something that I felt was a real threat to someone else, I might pick up the phone and say, you know, hey, I just think that you should be aware of, you know, to law enforcement. See, I think you should be aware of this. Maybe. I think I probably would, but again, I've never.
I'm pretty sure. In that position. Yeah. I can think of, you know, there's all kinds of organizations around that have been kind of sort of outlawed that, you know, that harm children and thing, all kinds of bizarre. And if I thought somebody was in imminent danger, I would certainly reach out very quickly. Yeah. If I would be a little bit more hesitant, if I thought it was just somebody who is not understanding the impact that their message could have and didn't really mean it. But I go back to, you know, what if you're wrong on, you know, not that the person got a phone call from the FBI or something, but what if you're wrong the other side that this person, you know, did something really awful. And again, I'll take it out of the current context. You know, what if you knew, what if you're the guy that sold all that fertilizer to Timothy McVeigh before he pulled that truck up in front of the daycare center?
Yeah,
right.
The federal building, right? I don't think I'd ever be able to sleep again. I didn't make that call because, you know, he bought a big bunch of big drums, some oil, and some fertilizer. Come on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it does become, like you said, it's how do you manage that? How do you, because you know, you can look at some of these things in hindsight and all the pieces come together, but maybe in the moment, you know, again, but if you're not thinking about these things, if you're not having discussions about these things, you're never going to be able to, like Jeff said, we're kind of always bombarded with all these different things. And if we can't slow down, stop, think about what our values are, make sure that we have language for what our values are in a sense that it guides us, then those are going to be tough decisions to make. I mean, you can look at a lot of situations. I remember reading some of the stuff about the guy who recently parked his RV in front of the AT&T building in Nashville and all that. And, you know, and then they start talking to people that knew him and things like that. And, you know, all that stuff.
That actually called in a long time ago, said he was building bombs.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's like, at what point I can't even imagine being in the shoes of some of the law enforcement people that have to deal with, you know, okay, is this just, how do we determine whether this is credible or not? And obviously they don't get them all right. So
it's hard, but if it takes one or two or three calls before somebody really gets a visit from a social worker for some evaluation, you know, you have to be one of those three calls. Right. Yeah. And you don't have to panic. You don't have to exaggerate. Just tell somebody. And
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You
And I think the key there, Jeff, like you said, you don't have to panic. You don't have to exaggerate. Just tell them what you know. Tell them the facts, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Right. And we can do that. And you know, the other thing you have to remember to the point about slowing things down is that where the internet and electronic news media, cable news, they have that velocity thing going for them. You know, be very concerned that the images that we produce, right? Clothing lasts a long time. Even the most inexpensive screen print t-shirt, you know, 25 washes, that's 6 months if you threw away the shirt after it becomes faded. But people keep shirts for 5-10 years, right? I still have a
or more
Marshall Tucker shirt from 1980-something in a drawer somewhere, right?
Marshall Tucker band.
Yeah, it was a great con. I saw them in New Haven, of all places.
I saw them at Ohio University.
but you remember that our art, our product has persistence, right? The news media stuff, that news story, you know, yeah, it's around forever, but it isn't in front of everybody forever. That t-shirt that you make is going to be in front of people for a long, long time. That banner you make, people are going to pull it out of the closet and hang it every time they get riled up over something, right? It's not like you're going to do this and it's gone. Right. It's out of your shop. It's out of view. It's there for a long time. And if you do the wrong thing, you could hear about it for a long time. You know, where did you get that? Right. That's how we count on all of us count on, referral business. Where did you get that? Well, people ask that when negative things happen as well. Where did you get that?
Correct. Right? Correct.
And I'm not worried about the government coming in. I'm worried about other people being offended that I would actually help somebody who was doing something inappropriate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So, yeah, I think this is great. Jeff, Eric actually posted in there, I think some of this aligns with the way we are seeing people moving towards purpose-based business. If you know why you're here and what you want your legacy to be, then these decisions can flow from that purpose. So,
good point.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point for sure. All right, Terry, we've got just a couple more minutes. Do you want to just go down one more avenue here? Is there anything else that obviously there's plenty that we could discuss. I think we could go on for quite some time with this, but Terry, what are your thoughts here?
Well, and we were kind of talking about mostly, I think, a lot of the political discourse right now, but you know, there are also distasteful images that people will bring in for you. And I've certainly turned some of those down. I mean, it's just in poor taste and, you know, or crude images, that I've said to people, you know, I'm just not comfortable doing this. And I'm not one to walk away from a lot of business either, but if, you know, I think it's all part of that whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, Jeff, what else do we need to cover here? In to kind of close this out, we've got some notes and Jeff, I believe you, we've got this Google outline that we put together, yep. And so some of the stuff.
I think we talked about two of the things on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you guys made the point is that you need to talk about this in your shops. Once you get to the point where you say to yourself and say to the people that you're working with, we don't have to take every job. If something does happen, and this isn't a lot of stuff, right? You know, let's put this in perspective. You know, it's unusual for something to come in that really reaches the threshold of, boy, you know, I just don't want to do this. I think it's that threshold has dropped a little bit. Or a lot. I know in December, you know, one of the things that we were going to do is, you know, we have like every other shop, a whole bunch of shirts and stuff left over from spares from jobs and things. We were going to print something funny on it and just give them out as promotions. And the thing that we were going to print was actually really funny in December and not so funny the second week in January. Okay. So, you know, you just have to be willing to say, you know, maybe this one case, you know, we'll save that one for a different time, right? Yep. But you know, when so many people are dying from the disease and we're having all these political issues, not a good joking around time, right? I mean, you guys, again, remember back the 80s. I forget which comic it was, said, you know, he was an activist, but he said, you know, right, you know, he may have even been diagnosed, but he was diagnosed with HIV. And he said, at some point, I'll be able to make a joke about this. It isn't right now.
Yeah.
Right. And right now is not the time to be making jokes about, you know, a range of issues. It's a small range of issues, but it, you know, right now is the time to be a little more empathetic, listen a little bit more. And, you know, when you don't agree with something, you know, just leave it as, you know, I think I'll go home and I'll read some more about that. I don't really have an opinion. You know, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there we go. We've
done good at not going down anything that's going to make anyone really mad and never come talk to us. You know, well, let's go to the Super Bowl and we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of that, Jeff, just to you're from the Massachusetts area. Yeah. You've got Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. How does that make you guys feel there? I just was curious about that. So, who do you root for?
I think overwhelmingly people are rooting for Tom.
Okay.
Because you know, Boston had, you know, Boston's a great sports town. And you know, I was telling my kids, you know, watch this really carefully because you're watching the Red Sox win pennants. You're watching Super Bowls every other year get one. You're watching the Celtics and the Bruins both win. You're not going to see this again. I remember my dad. I grew up in New York. My dad telling me about you know, how he got to meet Mickey Mantle and what the Yankees were like back then, and how he never, you know, he thought it was just that's the way it always was, right? It's not how it always is, right?
Right.
It's a very special time, and everyone here wishes he could have stayed here, but you know, let's be honest, right? The problem with having Tom Brady behind the offensive line was a combination of Tom's not very fast, right? And the offensive line needs a fast quarterback right now, right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to fix that. You know, you believe Belichick knows what he's doing and we'll figure it out. But, you know, you have a guy who's 40 something years old. He's not going to take too many more hits from 350 pound guys.
Yeah.
And his career is going to be done. Right.
Yeah.
So everyone's rooting for him. We all wish he was here. We're all angry that he couldn't have toughed it out. But I think everyone's rooting for him. I even think, you know, I know Belichick's rooting for him, right?
Yeah.
Belichick doesn't say a whole lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of have to, you know, those of us who have had teenagers grow up, right? We love our kids. It's time for them to go and see what they can do on their own.
Yeah.
Right. And get on with our lives and do something special, like make t-shirts or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how most people here feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see what he can do on his own. Let's see what Belichick can do on his own. It's, you know, there's just no question that it's been a special time up here in New England. Right. I mean, if you thought holidays were quiet on roads, right. It used to be, Christmas was busier on the highways than a Sunday when the Patriots were playing at home. Right. Everybody was either at home or at the game, right?
Yeah, and, out in Foxborough.
You know,
yeah,
maybe those days are gone. I don't know.
Yeah,
watching Mahomes is kind of fun too. So
yeah,
Kansas City is the same way on Sundays. So
yeah, and I think you watch the defenses because the defense is going to win this game, right? Whoever, you know, if they can give Tom an extra half a second, he'll pick apart any defense. He just needs that extra half a second to find it, and he'll find it.
Yeah,
and if the Bucs don't set the edge well with a linesman or somebody at the line and Mahomes gets around that corner, right, he'll pick apart any defense also. So, you know, as much as the quarterbacks are getting the attention, you know, the defenses will win this game, right? It's
interesting.
It'll be an interesting one. Cool. I think the pregame show starts in about 2 minutes. So
maybe I think it started last Saturday. But
yeah, is that tough to think? I mean, just one commercial after another.
You know, yeah,
just by the time the game comes. So
yeah. My wife was showing me some Cheetos commercial with Ashton Kutcher and his wife. I just forgot her name, but so I'm looking forward to the commercials too. So
creativity. I'd like to put on the game. Sometimes I'll even flip on a radio station that I know is carrying it just so I don't have to listen to the TV guys. Although I do like some of the commentators. You know.
Yes. Yeah. They're good. Good. Excellent. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you bringing up the topic, and we really appreciate you willing to be here with us. In fact, Christine says, I think there needs to be part two of this discussion. This is very thought provoking. And Jeff, as long as you're good with it, we're going to take all of the stuff that we had in our outline. We're going to post that in our show notes too. And we would highly encourage everybody to keep the conversation going in the comments. We didn't get a chance to get to every single comment that we had come through in here. Agree 100%. This is a topic that we should keep discussing until we can find that middle ground.
Right. And remember, there are more of us kind of small to mid-sized people than the big guys that'll do anything for a buck. So we can have a big effect on what people do and how they do it if we kind of sort of go the same direction together. So that's what we have to do as a community.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Great. Hey, Jeff, anything you want to share with everybody else before we let you get out of here?
I just hope everyone stays safe and get through the next few months. And, you know, what's it, the first week in February? So last week we would have been in Los Angeles, right?
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Or Long Beach.
That was the last time I bugged Terry about something DTG.
Well, feel free to reach out to him and bug him still. Just it has to be virtual
just for now. Just for fun.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much for your time today. Thanks, we'll talk to you soon, Jeff.
Okay. Bye now.
Awesome.
That was a great show.
Yeah. Great opportunity. Rugs, great talk today, guys. Thanks, Jeff. Agreed. Thanks very much, Jeff. In fact, Todd's already calling for Jeff as guest of the year for the Reggies. So
Aaron, this show, I think you and myself and Eric had the longest conversation talking about choosing to do a show or not, you know, because usually it's, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that one. This one, I think our conversation was about 30 minutes talking about the ins and outs of it and part of the whole cancel culture, you know, what happens in the conversation, you know, if our comments start turning negative. And so,
Yeah, I think, you know, but again, this all comes down to the fact that, you know, that led to a conversation with us. It led to a conversation in general, and I think that that's what's important here is that we figure out ways to have, you know, even if there's discourse, you have it in a way that's civil and that it's open and we talk about it and we try to come up with solutions. You know, all of this to me is how do we find solutions together? And if I'm just worried about hating somebody else, I'll never be able to find a solution to, you know, what's concerning me because I need that creativity. I need other people. We need to talk about these things. So the other part about this, Terry, too, that I know we definitely had some discussion about it, but I kind of knew in my gut that we were going to head down this road because the other part is we have such a tremendous amount of respect for the regulators. You know, we talked a little bit about that the people that show up here are people that are interested in getting better and discussing and having a purpose and doing that stuff. So, but I also have to give you a ton of kudos, Terry, because you brought a lot into this and you and Jeff were talking about some of these things. And for me, this is kind of, I'm still getting into new territory. I know I'm not spring chicken, but you know, you guys talked some stuff about the 60s and 70s. I was born in 1974. So I'm learning as we go here. And so I appreciate that.
I was in college. So
I wasn't trying to make a joke about you.
but you know, at the end of our conversation too, I think all three of us, and I agree, I think that there was no doubt we were going to do the show, but at the end, we all said we have to do this show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time to have this conversation on Two Regular Guys.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. And Eric chimed in. They're so proud of the regulators today. I agree. I feel like I'm part of the regulators and I'm proud of all of us. So we've done a great job. So everybody give yourselves a high five. There we go. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Perfect. Well, let's do a quick five things. I know we're into bonus time already, but Christine Shreve, birthday girl, Christine Shreve, 29 years old today, has given us some five things. So I can go ahead and read it or you want to read it when we come back?
Go for it.
All right, well, let's hit the five things intro, Eric, and we'll bring them to you. And I just like having that intro because I get all excited and I dance. So it's kind of fun. all right. Five ways to make social media a positive force from Christine Shreve. Wow. Timely. Number one, focus on being a positive presence. Complaining and ranting on social media can be cathartic and therapeutic, but make sure most of your interactions and posts are optimistic and positive. Excellent. Number two, know why you're using social media. Maybe it's to stay connected with family and friends. Maybe it's to promote your business or work, or maybe it's to learn. Know what your goals are and mute or unfriend accounts that bother you and don't help you meet those goals. Number three, take breaks from social media. We can all get overwhelmed by our social media feeds, either demands from others for information or contact, or simply a constant stream of negative messages. Take time, a few hours, a day away from social media to rest and recharge. Number four, form a community. Find people who have the same values and goals you do, as well as people who are different from you, and get to know them. The stronger the community you form, the more valuable social media will be. Excellent. And number five, be selective. The urge is often to follow a friend. The urge is often to follow or friend everyone, but not everyone will be a good fit for you. Check out people's profile or pages before you connect and make sure they're putting out the kind of message you want in your life. I love that. You be responsible for your own social media feed. Perfect. Thank
Those
you.
Those are so excellent.
Yeah, very excellent and very timely as well, Christine. So she was nice enough to get us several of those. So you'll be hearing five things from Christine throughout. If you are not part of Christine's group over there, if you are a female, make sure that you are in the Women in Garment Decorating group on Facebook. Talk about a community. That's a fantastic community. I'm obviously not in it, but my wife is, and she's always sharing the positive and amazing community that they've got going on over there. So, and then one quick comment here, Terry, that I wanted to get to. I haven't actually read it, so I'm just going to read it and see what we said. Liz Boswell says, I've been lurking this last year, waiting for personal reasons to start home business. Love the conversation here and respect you all. Feel like I've learned a lot and I listened to the podcast while driving. Liz, thank you so much for being here and we appreciate you commenting.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So Terry, what's coming up on the docket for you here?
March 25th, I'll be presenting for DAX online seminars. What do I really need to buy when starting a screen printing business? My complete screen printing business course. We're talking about when we're going to start up again at Workhorse Products here in Phoenix, but an Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago. We're starting May 22nd and 23rd. So you can find that at atlasscreensupply.com or on my website, all these things at terrycombs.com and look on under tour dates.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to you being able to have those live events again. You know, and
it's been a year.
Yep. I still, if you guys do print face masks first, that first time you have to give me credit for that though.
Absolutely.
That's clear. All right. For me, Terry, I've got Small Business Saturdays happening tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Central Time, Center of the Universe time. So this week I'm bringing in my wife. We're going to celebrate her earning her Success Principles certificate as well. So we're now a family affair here with Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And we're going to talk about empowering ourselves to success. So it's going to be really fun. I get a chance to talk to her again. It's been a little while since I've had her on that program. And she's actually going to be announcing a new workshop that she's going to be hosting. So I can't wait for you all to get to know her a little bit more. If you want to check that out, you can go over to liveosg.com or you can find it on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/oursuccessgrouppro. And again, that'll be happening tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Central Time. April 5th, Terry, I will be presenting Conquering Fear and Living to Tell About It through the DAX online seminar programs. It's a live interactive version of the seminar, so we're really excited to present that. We'll talk about how small businesses can overcome their fears to be able to step out of their comfort zone and do the things that they need to do for success. So I'll share some techniques to confront fear and actually turn those fears into the art of success is what I'm calling it. So we're TM, right? No, I don't know. And then couple days later, again, for the DEX online seminar program, I'll be talking about finding your niche for more success. As you guys have listened to, all of our regulators that listen know that Terry and I are all about niche markets. In fact, I think we probably still have at least 30 or so from your 52 niche markets in 52 minutes to get
exactly. And they're still fresh today.
Yeah, longest 52 minutes of our lives, but it was fantastic.
Hey, Aaron, I wanted to comment too about these DAX events, and just so people understand, a lot of the other trade show companies are doing online events as well, but the a lot of it is recorded. These DAX events are live, so you can ask questions and interact, you know, while the event is going on. You don't have to send an email and say, hey, the point you brought up halfway through your event. So I think that'll be really cool that people will be able to get in there and ask questions.
Yeah, I agree. And they're also get the benefit of the fact that they are still recorded too, I believe.
So, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really great point. And, you know, gotta find the niche, but I think, obviously, for us, we've really come to love this live format. So it makes the interactions fantastic, and I think people can get a lot more out of it when there's, you know, like you said, real time interaction going on. So, all right, Terry. Well, let's see here. What else? I teased this last week, and I painted Eric into the corner and forced him to do this with me. So at 11:30, in about 15 minutes here, Eric and I are going to do something. It's going to be fun. We'll see how it ends up being, whatever. We don't really know yet, but we're calling it the half because we're keeping it to 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes of Q&A, just interaction, straight interaction, no agenda, anything like that. And as Eric mentioned in one of our comments back and forth, you know, trust us, you don't know the half of it because we don't really either. But if you can see, obviously we go into bonus time all the time here on Two Regular Guys. Well, on the half, that's not happening. So no matter where we are in the conversation, at noon Central Time, the buzzer will go off and we will be done. So we'll see how that goes. Terry, would you share a couple of the other things that Eric has coming up here as well?
Yeah, too? Absolutely. You can join Eric on his show at 2:30 Mountain Time, The Take Up, episode number 51. Today, it's Machine Embroidery Outlining Continued, How to Define Shape in Your Design and The Take Up's 1-Year Anniversary. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Eric's going to be at the DAX show as well. Covering moving from hobby to pro and e-commerce for embroidery, or I'm sorry, for embroiderers. And Eric's new webinar is coming soon. If you like creating and selling patches, you may want to stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited to see that start coming to fruition here. So as everybody knows, I'm not very well versed in embroidery. I know from Eric and Andrea Bomarito. So between
I
the
wear
two
embroidery.
Yeah, exactly. but everybody that I've talked to wants to know about patches. So I can't wait for Eric to be able to bring his knowledge to the world on that. He's got lots of it out there already, but in this webinar format, I think it's going to be super valuable. So, and then also, as Terry said, congratulations to Eric on his full year of The Take Up here. Great content. Check that out. He goes deep. He's got a plan. It's actually really well done. Unlike what we're going to do in about 15 minutes here. So, all right. Well, Terry, we've come to the close of another show. Thank you so much to Jeff. Wonderful conversation. Great insight. Jeff's with Sparkle Gear. And, you know, if you want to keep having the conversation with Jeff, look him up. You can find him out there. We really enjoy talking to him. And we also really appreciate him recommending the topic. You know, just want to make it clear, too. It wasn't like you suggest a topic, you have to come on. Now, we'll give you that opportunity, that option, right, if you suggest the topic. But don't feel like you can't suggest topics to us if you're not willing to come on. Suggest the topic. We're happy to figure out a way. If we can't talk about it, find somebody that can. So we'd love to get all of those topic suggestions. And as you can tell, we'll try to talk about anything we can as long as it brings value to the decorators community. So
exactly right.
All right. Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to say, want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell, for keeping things running smoothly and making this show better every week. Thanks, Eric.
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much, Eric. Next week, we will be welcoming in great friend of the show, Johnny Schell. And we want to talk about working with consultants. Johnny is doing consulting work now, and what he's learned since moving away from Printing United SGIA. And this is going to be great. I've missed talking to Johnny. And
yeah, me too. It's been a while.
Wealth of information, and he's available too. So this is a guy that probably you're missing out if you're not talking to Johnny. So come get reacquainted with Johnny next week, and we'll have a great conversation with him.
All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Here we go. Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.